Well, we're in Ruth, looking at the second chapter, and we're going to look at verses 18 and 19. I want to say verse 20 because it's a lesson in itself. And so Ruth has come home with what she has gleaned, what she has beaten out, what she has gleaned, and we found out it was about an ephah of barley, which, you know, could be from a half a bushel to a whole bushel. I was just thinking, you know, I had written in 48 to 50 pounds. Can you imagine carrying that home? Because she carried that home.
That's pretty heavy.
Which is, verse 18 says, and she took it up and went into the city. So she took up what she had beaten out. If it was a whole bushel, it'd be 50 pounds. If it was, you know, a half, a three quarter, it'd be like, I have 48 to 50 pounds, so. Yeah, so.
No, if they carried it on their heads and then.
That'd be like, you know, 40 to 50 pounds. 50 would be the max. So verse 18 says, and she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Just love that. And you see her fruit here that she's bringing home in verse 18. And the first thing that we see in connection with that is she carried it. It says, and she took it up. And that word took it up means to lift it up and to bear it and to carry it. So she lifted it up and she carried it. And I don't know how long a journey it was from the field of Boaz to the home of Naomi. We don't know that nobody stopped and offered to give her a ride, or says she took it up and went into the city. So it was outside of the city where the fields were. So that could have been, you know, a couple of miles. She took up this burden, and what struck me in that statement, and she took it up, I thought she took it up and it was a burden. It was heavy, but she took it up with gladness. And she took it up with joy. And now she may have been tired at the end of the day, but this burden that looked so heavy, I think, felt light when she carried it home, because this was the fruit of her labor. This was the down payment of the blessings of Boaz. And so, you know, that was a long day, and she may have been tired at the end of the day, but she saw what she had gleaned, and she took it up. And I think she took it up with joy. And I looked at that in the light of this, that sometimes there are burdens that we take up. And we can be like Ruth, where we can take those burdens up gladly and joyfully. They're burdens. Sometimes they are heavy to bear. The scripture that we're the most familiar with that Jesus tells us about is to take up the burden of the cross. I'm not sure how he says that. He said, he that follows me, let him take up his cross and follow me. And there that take up, you know, one of the things that take up means is to accept. It's not just lifting it up, but if you take it up, if you lift it up and show your willingness to bear it, your willingness to carry it, you're showing that you actually accept it. It's part of that taking it up of the burden, that whatever the burden is in our life that we find, part of that taking it up is just an attitude of acceptance. And Jesus said, take that, if we're going to follow him, take up his cross and follow me. Take it up. Just accept it. Be willing to bear whatever that cross is, whatever that burden is. It's his cross. It's your, and each of us have our own personal crosses, our own personal burdens. The scripture I'd like you to look at, I picked up several things in reference to this taking up of a burden, and we're going to see that there's something else that we take up. But the first, of course, is to take up that cross, your cross, and bear it, accept it, embrace it, follow him. And I think, like Ruth, it won't feel heavy. I don't think that felt like a heavy bag she was carrying, or a heavy basket she was carrying. Maybe she had it in a basket and she carried it on her head. Sometimes they'll do that, or maybe she had it on her back. You know, they carry things different ways in those days. You know, if it was a, she could have dragged it along the ground with her if she had to, but there were different ways. I saw something on National Geographic years ago, and it showed somebody with a strap across his forehead, and then he carried something on his back, and he was carrying a refrigerator, a small refrigerator. Yeah. I just...
You're lucky because you walk, you deal with your legs, basically.
Yeah, and the weight was distributed, but he had a band around his forehead that kind of helped hold it in place, and he leaned down like that, and he was... I just thought that was amazing. And when we saw that movie Centennial, he had bales and bales of hides, and he had them a strap around his head, and he carried them on his back, you know, and it was distributed that way. And they were 100-pound bales that he was carrying, 100-pound bales. And he'd carry one and deposit it and go back and carry the next one. I don't know how she carried it, but she carried it. She took up that burden, and it didn't feel like one. And it's all in our attitude. It's all in how we perceive what's going on in our lives. The scripture that we're probably the most familiar with when it talks about burdens that we are called upon to bear is in 1 Corinthians 10:13, which probably we could quote by heart. And in 1 Corinthians 10:13, we find that there's a burden here that is called a temptation. It is a trial. And the promise is, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or tried above what ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to what? Bear it. So you're still bearing it, but you see from the Lord a way of escape. I've written in my Bible, His grace is the way of escape, and Jesus is the way of escape, and you could just come up with all sorts of things that become a way of escape. You're still carrying the burden, and you're still under it, but because there is this way of escape made for you while you carry it, it doesn't feel that heavy. And you're not grumbling and weeping and crying and defeated with that burden. You're victorious with that burden. There are practical burdens that we are called upon to bear that we find in Paul's epistles. And in Romans 15:1, we find one of those practical burdens. And I picked this scripture because this applies to Naomi, and the next scripture I'm going to pick also applies to Naomi and Ruth's relationship with Naomi. And so in Romans 15:1, we find the Apostle Paul says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves." Doesn't that just sound like Ruth? She was young, she was strong. According to some commentators, she may have been 15 or 16. You know, she got married young. She was a maiden. She was young and strong. Here, of course, this is strength in faith and not strength in body, but Ruth was strong in faith too. And in a sense, her faith was a little bit greater than Naomi's, because she said that she would go out and find grace in the sight of somebody. She went out expecting to find grace. Naomi said go, but I don't think Naomi really expected her to come back with what she did. Ruth went out in faith, and she went out strong, but she went out with the attitude of Naomi is my mother-in-law. Naomi is weak. She can't do this, and I can. She has needs that need to be met that I can meet, and I'm going to bear her infirmity. And so that in itself made that burden light. I'm doing this for Naomi. We will have food for a wonderful number of days, a week, 10 days, however much that grain lasted. It was a nice provision. And so she carried that home thinking, this is for Naomi, and oh, it'll satisfy us for a long time. We'll have something in the storehouse. You know, we won't get up the next morning and there's nothing in the cupboard. And then I thought about Galatians 6:2, because here again, there is this attitude of sharing our burdens with others. And in some ways, that makes it lighter. And in Galatians 6:2, and I know we're familiar with all these scriptures, but it says, bear ye one another's burdens. I like that. Bear ye one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. And the law of Christ is the law of love. We love one another. And so here there is that statement to bear one another's burdens. And that makes the burden light in itself. But you know, besides taking up a literal burden that is the burden of a trial, the burden of that grain, the burden of the labor that she had gone through, there are times that we are to take up something else. We take up his blessings. And that which she was carrying on her back or her head or her shoulder, it was a burden, but it was filled with blessings. And so we are also to take up something else. And she took it up. She took up those blessings. You know, and I just think that's so wonderful. She took up the blessings of Boaz and she carried them home. And she carried them home rejoicing. Now, I think we take up the blessings of the Lord when we do that and we see what we're taking up as the blessings of the Lord. They outweigh the burdens. That was a heavy load that she was carrying physically, but it was filled with blessings. So her attitude with what she was carrying was, these are the blessings of Boaz. That far outweighed just the simple weight of that burden that she was carrying filled with grain. You know, you think about all the blessings that we can take up in our lives that outweigh the burdens in our lives. And we have the blessings of the man who is called the blessed man, whose iniquities are forgiven. We no longer carry the burden of our iniquities. We have the blessings of his spirit. We have the blessings of his word. We have the blessings of his fellowship. We have the blessings of his saints. We have the blessings that Paul sums up in with one phrase, which I think summarizes everything that Ruth has and is carrying home here. We are blessed with how many spiritual blessings? All spiritual blessings in Ephesians 1:3. Paul says you are blessed with all spiritual blessings where? In heavenly places, in Christ. And I looked at it in this light. All the blessings that we have in Christ, if we can just have just a brief glimpse of them and bring them under that umbrella of all the spiritual blessings there are for me, then whatever the burdens are that we have to take up from time to time don't matter. It's all those blessings. We take those up also, because to take up means to lift them up. And to lift them up means, in a sense, to embrace them, to take them to yourself. It's not just to bear something and carry something. It is to lift it up, look at it, and receive it. And all the spiritual blessings that we have in the Lord, all the blessings that Ruth saw here in that bag, pointed to all the promises that he had set before her. This was like a down payment. It was just a glimpse of what he would give her later on. And so I thought the trials and the blessings have to go hand in hand. One will lead to the other. The burden of carrying that grain and the burden of harvesting that grain came first. But she ended up with a blessing, and one led to the other. And she couldn't have had the blessing without the trial of the day. She couldn't have had the blessing without the labor. And we look at the blessings in our lives, we can't have that really, an appreciation of it or a revelation of it without the burdens and the trials also. It makes us appreciate the blessings. and the trials in a sense and the burdens in a sense uncover those blessings, reveal them to us. So Ruth took it up. She takes up and she receives those blessings of Boaz, and the moment she takes it up, they're hers. They don't belong to anybody else. She took it up. They're hers. I just love that. And we don't know how long the journey was. We don't know how long it took. We don't know if there were people that saw her along the way. I'm sure there were. But I thought about the next statement after she took it up. She went into the city. And I think it took her some time to do that. So what do you think she was thinking about while she went into the city? I think that time it took her to get from Boaz's field to Naomi's house, the house where they were living, that time was necessary for her. She went into the city, and there was a time frame in which she had to think about everything that Boaz said. And she could think about everything that Boaz did. And she could rejoice and she could give thanks for what she was carrying. I think there again, there is this need in our life. The Lord gives us this time span, this time frame under which we are bearing those burdens, and it gives us an opportunity to think, an opportunity to give thanks, because he says, I want you to see the blessing also. I think that maybe she could have quoted, of course, I don't know that this psalm was written at that time, but I thought of Psalm 107 and verse 1, and she could very well have quoted something similar to this. I know that Psalm 107 was probably, I don't know, that was, it may have been written at that time. It's in... Yeah, it could be said at any time. I can't remember if this is in the latter part of the Psalms. It may, and they had a lot of the Psalms that were written at that time. But she could have, in a sense, articulated this very same praise by the Spirit, because Psalm 107:1 says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good; for His mercy endureth forever." You know, she could have said this, oh, I'm giving thanks unto the Lord for His mercy, His grace. I think when she gave thanks, and that's really what I think she was doing as she went into the city, I guess that's the point I wanted to get across. She took up that burden and that blessing, and she went into the city, and I think she was doing something as she made that journey. I think she was giving thanks. I think she was thinking about everything that the Lord had done for her. And, you know, Paul says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He says that in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. The other thing I thought about is we need time apart to give thanks. She needed to come to terms with what it was that Boaz had said and done for her before she presented it unto Naomi. She needed to think about it and absorb it and really appreciate it, because it was still new. And we need time apart, time alone sometimes, just to come into the presence of the Lord and let Him show us by His Spirit what it is He has given us, and to give Him thanks for it. You know, Jesus said when you pray, you need to enter into your closet and shut your door and pray unto the Father and do it in secret. In a sense, this is a time of secret fellowship and prayer that Ruth has with the Lord. Now, Matthew Henry says, when she had got her grain, she took it up herself and she carried it into the city, though had she asked them, it is likely some of Boaz's servants would have done this for her. I'm sure that Boaz probably, if she had said, you know, I'm too tired, could you have somebody carry this for me? And so Matthew Henry said, you know, she chose not to do that. She chose just to take it herself and carry it herself. She didn't want anybody else to carry it for her. Those were her blessings. Those were hers alone. And he says, we should study to be as little as possible troublesome to those that are kind to us. She did not think it too hard or too mean a service to carry her grain herself into the city, but she was pleased with what she had gotten and careful to secure it. And I like that. So Matthew Henry's saying, you know, she didn't think that was something that she couldn't handle. That's not too lowly a service for her to carry, because she had obtained it herself. And she was pleased with what she had, and she wanted to make sure and be very careful about securing it, taking hold of it, and not letting go of it. And you know, when we take up those things that the Lord has set before us, and ultimately these picture the blessings, it's our responsibility to secure those things, to make sure that they are ours and no grain falls out. She made sure she didn't lose anything of what she had harvested. To take care of what had been given to her. He quotes a scripture in 2 John 8 which says that we need to take care that we lose not those things which we have wrought, that we receive a full reward. I thought that's really good. 2 John verse 8. And in a sense, he's saying she didn't want to lose those things that she had wrought. You know, this is from her labors. And John says, take care that we lose not those things which we have wrought, that we shall receive a full reward. You don't want to lose any of those blessings and obtain the full reward here, everything. And so that's what she's doing. She's taking home a full reward. She's not going to lose anything because she has secured it and she's embraced it and taken care of it herself. Now, what happened when Ruth got home? Naomi saw what Ruth had gleaned, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. Now, I think that's probably Saul with shock, Saul with surprise, what she had gleaned. Naomi had to wait in faith and in hope and in prayer for Ruth to come back. I think she probably left early in the day, and she didn't stop gleaning until the sun had set. And then she had to thresh everything out, beat everything out. And then she had to walk home. What's Naomi doing all this time? She's thinking about Ruth. How has Ruth's day gone? And she's been praying for Ruth and hoping with expectation that she'll come back with something because they need something. She didn't know really what Ruth's day would bring forth. And she saw the answer, I think, to her prayers in what Ruth had gleaned. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. Her prayers had been answered. The Lord had provided. And Ruth does two things here. She showed Naomi what she had, and she brought it forth, and she shared what she had with Naomi. She showed her, and she shared with her. I like that. She brought it forth. She showed it to her. She brought it out. One of the definitions for that is she spread it out. She probably laid open that bag and just showed the abundance of the grain that she had harvested. She spread it all out before her. She was eager to show Naomi that she had that she had found grace. Isn't that wonderful?
A whole bag
of grace. Ruth will emphasize Boaz's blessings more than she'll emphasize her own labors here when she gives her testimony. She's going to talk not so much about what she did, but about what Boaz did. So the first thing is she brought forth this and she spread it out before Naomi so that Naomi could see everything. And then she shared something with Naomi, something else. She gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. She also carried something else with her. She carried with her the leftovers from that meal, the parched corn and the bread that Boaz had given her. She carried back something that she could eat that evening and they didn't have to fix anything. So she showed her and then she shared with her. Now, she shared with her what she had reserved after she was satisfied. She shared with her the fruit of her fellowship. I think that's really what that talks about. And this is an additional blessing apart from that which she brought forth from her labors. She shared with her something that came not from her labors, but strictly from the table of Boaz, from a table of fellowship, from a table of communion. I just think this is such a wonderful picture of how we share the blessings that we have received from the Lord. We share the individual blessings through our labors in the Word of God, our gleaning, and we share the blessings from the table of fellowship with the Lord. Those are two different categories of blessings. She gave to her, and that means to bestow upon her or offer to her. She offered it to her. And then she saved. She gave to her what she had saved. She gave to her that which she has reserved or saved. And that means, reserved means preserved. It means saved. It means just what she had set aside. She made a point of, and I wonder sometimes if Ruth didn't eat until she was just completely full. Maybe Ruth ate until she was moderately satisfied and then thought, oh, I think I'll save this for Naomi. I'll set this aside for Naomi. I won't eat everything that's been put on my plate. You know, I'll set this aside for her. She made a point of preserving or reserving or setting aside while she was at that table something for Naomi. She saved it for her, and then she gave it to her. She gave to her that which she had reserved or saved after she had been satisfied. It probably didn't take much to satisfy Ruth. She gave to Naomi what Boaz gave to her. That's what she did. He had given her more than she needed. And, you know, think about how we can give to others what the Lord has given to us. He gives us far more than we need. There's always an overflow. And don't you just want to take that overflow and let it flow out to others? She shared what she had also first enjoyed. She knew it was good. She knew this would satisfy. She knew this would strengthen. So she enjoyed it first, and then she knew that Naomi would enjoy it. And you can see that in our lives. She shared from the abundance of what she had received, because there was more than enough. And she has shared a portion that she had purposely set aside. And I just thought how the Lord will give us more than we need. I think there is always in our lives a much more. Will always be much more than we need. Now, I think this portion that's reserved pictures the abundance of what we can share and enjoy with others. Both of these portions, really, that which she had personally gleaned, but also that came from the table of fellowship, it shows that we are to share what we have enjoyed with others because there were an abundance. Do you remember when Joseph was entertaining his brothers, and when Benjamin was brought and sat down at the table? He gave him a double portion. There was an abundance there. This is a little bit like, well, maybe it's more than that. Genesis 43:34. I'm thinking it's more than a double portion. Genesis 43, verse 34, five times more. Five times more. That's grace. Genesis 43:34 says, "And he took and sent messes unto them from before him, but Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs." Now, isn't that grace? Five times more. Makes you wonder if maybe when Boaz offered unto Ruth, he gave her five times more than what she really needed. He knew her heart that she would probably set aside something for her mother-in-law, and that this was grace. This is like the five much mores that Paul tells us about in Romans 5. She shared with Naomi because she had so much more. This is like the Song of Solomon in the second chapter and the fourth verse. This is like coming to his banqueting house. I like that. She sat at his table and had dined sumptuously and was satisfied. And so I think this that she had set aside that pictures the abundance of his table is like coming to the banqueting house of our beloved. It is that five times more that he sets on our table for us. So she says, where have you gleaned? You know, here's the type of work that you've done. And where did you do that work? And where wroughtest thou? And that speaks of the extent of the labor, the industrious labor that she expended. It shows that she worked hard. Oh my gosh, she's basically saying, where did you work so hard that you could come up with that much grain? Where did you rot today? Where did you work so industriously today? Where did you labor? And the type of labor was gleaning. And here Naomi's words point our eyes to Ruth, and you know what an example she is. We see what Ruth has done. Thou hast gleaned, thou wroughtest, thou hast worked. And we see Naomi's shock and surprise at what Ruth has brought home. Can you just kind of hear the tone of her voice when she says, where have you gleaned today? Where have you worked today? Or how hard you have worked today? And we also see an important question asked that is asked of all of us. I just thought about the Lord asking us, where have you gleaned today? And you know, that gleaning, you could say, he's saying, have you been in the Word today? Have you gleaned today? Have you been meditating and studying the Word today? Have you gleaned today? Have you been picking up precious portions? Have you been gleaning? Have at the end of the day, do you have a burden that you have taken up and embraced that is filled with His blessings because of what you have gleaned? You know, it should be at the end of the day, we should have something at the end of the day that constitutes a blessing that He has given us that we take up and take with us. And so when she says to her, well, where have you gleaned today? We can say to ourselves, where have I gleaned today? And go to the Word of God and see if there's something that we have gleaned. And then, where have you labored today? Which is, where wroughtest thou? Speaks of the labor itself, the labor of gleaning. And I thought about that phrase, where have you wrought today or labored today, as applying to, have you put the Word of God to use today? Have you let the Word energize you? Have you let the Word give you direction today? Have you labored not just for your needs, but for others? You know, there is that labor and that gleaning. The gleaning, I think, speaks of the individual portions of the Word that we find, and the labor speaks of the overall result of those portions that we have gleaned. What do we do with it? Is there an industrious activity in our life pertaining to the Lord and His Word and His blessings? So are we laboring and are we gleaning? Are we in the right field? Where have you labored today? Well, she was in the right field, the field of Boaz. So the question is, where have you been today and what have you done today? And how did Naomi react? She reacted with praise. She said, oh, blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. She blessed God and she blessed the man that brought about these blessings. To bless just means, it comes from a word that means to kneel, and it really speaks about praise. Blessed be he, the man, who has blessed Ruth. There's a scripture in Psalm 41 that says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. In Psalm 41:1. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. And Naomi does this. Even before she knows the name of the man, she just says, blessed is he, blessed is the man. She knows why Ruth has come back blessed, because she has gleaned and she has wrought or labored. But she doesn't know who has been responsible for the blessing of Ruth. She knows part of it has been because of Ruth's labors, but the major part of it is a man that she knows not the name of yet, who has been responsible for that. And she acknowledges that because of God, somebody has taken knowledge of her who has taken knowledge of you, who has looked so closely at you and scrutinized you, who has noticed you. To take knowledge of means, you know, to notice, to look closely at, to scrutinize, but it also means to deliver. In a sense, she's saying, who has delivered you? Who has noticed you to such an extent that there is deliverance? Boaz has examined Ruth, he's noticed her, and that which he has provided for her has delivered her and Naomi. Now, when Boaz took notice of Ruth, he took notice of, as Sister Bodhi says, her poverty and her need. Who took notice of you? The first thing that we see is her poverty and her need. But the second thing that he took notice of was her faith and her love. Those are the two things that he, areas of her life that he took notice of. And in response to that which he took notice of, her need and her faith and love, he met that need. And that's grace. That's all that grace is. So Naomi asks her this question, and what did Ruth do? She showed Naomi. And she told Naomi. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and she said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. She testified. This is her testimony. She showed Naomi by telling her everything that happened. She told her about the man that she met. She told her about not only her labor. She doesn't really emphasize that as much as she emphasizes the one that she labored for. And what really struck me is she says she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, not for whom she had wrought. I just thought that so good, because Ruth is not saying she just worked for him. She's not saying for whom. She's saying, I worked with him. And makes you wonder, you see the servant linked with the master. You really see the master linked with the servant. You see them working together, laboring together. Was Boaz out in that field with his laborers? She said, I worked with him. And our labors are not only for the Lord, they are with the Lord. We never do it alone. He walks by our side, he works with us. It's never just for him. It's not one-sided.
We're laborers together.
With him. Mm-hmm. We're laborers together. That's right. So she told Naomi the man's name. And this is how she ends her testimony with the man's name. She knows who she has labored for. He's no longer a stranger. He's her master. And she's met him, and she's talked with him, and she's been fed by him, and she's been accepted by him, and he is her master. And she said, his name is Boaz. He's strength. And Jesus is our master, and he's not a stranger. As we work with him and labor with him, we know his name. He knows our name. He has met our needs. He has seen the desire of our hearts. We acknowledge that we are his servants, and we labor with him. And I just think here you just have a wonderful testimony. And then I'll close with something that Brother Wiersbe said. He said, how will Naomi respond to Ruth's experiences? The last time we met Naomi, she was sharing her bitterness with the women of Bethlehem and blaming God for her sorrow and her poverty. Now we hear a new word from Naomi's lips, blessed. She not only blessed Ruth's benefactor, but she also blessed the Lord. We have moved from bitterness to blessedness. I thought that was so good. When Naomi saw the grain, she blessed the man who allowed Ruth to work in his field. And when she heard the man was Boaz, Naomi blessed the Lord. What a change has taken place in the heart of this grieving widow. This change came about because of the new hope she had in her heart. And one who gave her that new hope was Boaz. So I think that's such a precious portion there.